Let's take our Bibles now, and I invite you to turn to 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. As we talk about the greatest gift, the young people, boys and girls, are talking about the gift. What is the gift, and what is it all about, and what is the greatest gift, and why is it? Indeed, the greatest gift, the gift of eternal life, the greatest gift that was ever given. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not die and go to hell, but have everlasting life." That's a great gift, isn't it? God so loved us that he gave that gift. And then in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." And here it is. "God was manifest in the flesh." Did you get that? God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then received up into glory. What a great verse that verse is to back up the gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the true message of Christmas. We get a lot of varied messages for Christmas, don't we? A lot of them are very, very wrong. But the true meaning, the true message of Christmas is this gift. The gift of giving comes from the idea that God gave. That God gave first, and God gave a gift. And that gift was not merited or earned. We don't give a gift at Christmas and say, "Hey, pay me for that." We might not succeed too well if we try to handle it that way. But we purchase the gift, we buy the gift, we give the gift to someone that we care about, and sometimes to some we don't even know, but we give that gift. But God gave the world a gift, a wonderful gift, and that what we would call the first Christmas, as we'd go back and refer to it. What did God give? He gave the world a Savior. He gave the world a Savior. Matthew 1:21, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." That's a precious name, isn't it? "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Why? That comes from the word Jehoshua or Joshua. It's a transliteration, and it's talking about the fact that he is the Redeemer. He's the Savior. "His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's the reason that Jesus Christ was given. God gave the gift, the world, a Savior, and we needed a Savior. And that's why his name, among his other names, is the name Jesus, because he came to save his own people. For thousands of years, people were in captivity. They were, of course, justified by faith in the Old Testament, but they were bound under the law. But then, thank God, we come to what we call the New Testament era, the church age, the New Testament time. And we have not the wrath of God, but a gift of God. And we have a redeemer, a liberator, someone who frees us from the bondage and the price of sin and a debt that we could never pay. And that's why we have the right to approach him boldly tonight. He is our Savior. He is my Savior. I hope he's your Savior. I hope you know you're saved. I hope that you know you're going to heaven. Because you're either going to go to heaven or hell. There's only those two places. And I hope tonight everybody in this building knows that you're going to heaven. But if not, you need to accept Christ and receive this gift this night, tonight, before it's eternally too late. You don't know if you'll be living this time tomorrow night or not. Oh, we have our plans, and we're planning for Christmas. And we're planning for some exciting things down the road. But friend, let me tell you, you have no idea when you're going to go out into eternity. Absolutely not for sure when that's going to happen. But I'm glad that we are God's children, and we can approach him boldly because we are saved by grace. That means we are clothed in his righteousness. Not our righteousness, but his righteousness. We are clothed with our Savior's righteousness. Psalm 56:13. "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." Thank God he delivered us. And he's not just talking about physical death. He's talking about the second death, eternal damnation, eternal separation from Almighty God, which is where people go if they do not get saved. So God gave the world a Savior, and his name is to be called Jesus. And then God gave the world his glory. God gave the world his glory. The Old Testament, if you got too close to the glory of God, you died. I mean, if you saw the glory of God, you were subject to dying if God really revealed his glory. Listen to Exodus 33 and verse 20. Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. God's talking about his glory. And in the Old Testament, the old dispensation, they could not, in that sense, look upon the glory of God. Now, he manifested that glory in different ways, but as far as looking directly upon the glory of God, Isaiah said, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, Isaiah 40 and verse 5. Well, when is it going to be revealed? What was Isaiah talking about when he said this glory of the Lord would be revealed? Hebrews 1, 3. Jesus, there it is. Jesus is the brightness of his glory. And listen to what he says. And the express image of his person. The express image of his person. In other words, Jesus is God. And Jesus revealed to us in his coming into this world the glory of God. Jesus is called Emmanuel. What does that word mean? The word Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. Not just some little baby, not just another baby, but God. God himself with us on this earth. His name shall not only be called Jesus, but it shall be called Emmanuel. And that's what we call the incarnation. Carnality is what we call the flesh. This is the incarnation of Christ, Jesus, God, coming from heaven, the second person of the Holy Trinity, coming to this earth and taking human flesh. And that flesh was called the incarnation. Why? So we could behold him. So we could see the glory of God. When you see Jesus, you see the glory of God. And some of those people, especially in his 3-year public ministry, were able to see the glory of God manifested through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:14. And the Word was made, what? Flesh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. What kind of glory was that? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, we beheld his glory as he came to this earth. So God showed us his glory through his Son, Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus was God, don't you? I believe Jesus is God tonight. At the right hand of the Father, the second person of the Trinity, very God. And he was revealing the glory of God on this earth. God also gave the world peace. You say, well, I hadn't really experienced seeing the world have world peace yet. But hang on and let me explain what I'm talking about. He came to give peace. Now let me ask you this tonight. Do you have peace in your heart? Do you have the kind of peace that says, if I pillow my head tonight and I don't awaken, I know I'll wake up in heaven? If I don't awaken on this earth, I know I'll wake up in heaven. And do we have that peace that passes understanding that nobody else can give us? Philosophers can't give it. Nobody else can give it. It's a peace that only comes from God Almighty. It's a wonderful peace, isn't it? I mean, it's great to be saved. It's great to know you're saved. It's great to know you're going to heaven. It's great to know that you have a right relationship between you and God. You have been justified by the grace of God and declared the righteousness of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace? If your sins have not been forgiven and washed away by the blood of Jesus, you don't have peace tonight. I don't know what you have. You may cover it up with a lot of different pseudo things, pseudo pieces. But friend, you don't have real peace deep down in your heart if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we do have Him, we have peace. As I said, philosophy is not going to give that to you. There's not a human leader on the face of God's green earth that will give us peace. They don't have it to give. They talk about it and they kick the can down the highway and talk about peace and all of that. But they cannot give us peace. The only one that can give us peace is Jesus Christ. Micah, we preached on Micah 5:2, part of that this morning. But in 5:5, "And this man shall be the peace," Micah said, "when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces. Then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. This man shall be peace." He was just talking about Bethlehem and where Christ was going to be born. And he's the one that gives us peace. Luke 2:14. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth," what? "Peace, goodwill toward men." Ephesians 2:13. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off." That's a description where we were when we were lost. I don't care how morally good you were when you were lost, you were far off. You're either in Christ or out of Christ. There's no in between. You're in Christ or out of Christ. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh near by the blood of Christ." Why? "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition." You see, God took care of that in the Old Testament, and that middle wall of partition came breaking down. It was broken down from top to bottom. Salvation is always from God down to man. And so we have that peace that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our peace. I don't care what we're going through, what we're facing, what life dishes out to us. We've got to reach somewhere to find peace. Where do we get it? We get it from Jesus. We get it deep in our hearts, the peace that only He can give. And someday, one of these days, He has made us this wonderful promise, a great, grand, and glorious promise, that there will be, ultimately, believe it or not, peace on earth. Amen. Peace on earth. That's going to be a great day, isn't it? When Jesus comes back, He'll come for the church first. Thank God for that. I hope I can hold out until that happens. I'm looking not for the undertaker, but the upper taker. How about you? I want Him to come and call me home. But one thing is for sure, I know I'll be with Him someday, and I'll come back with Him, and He will set up a whole kingdom of peace on the face of the earth. And He will rule with a rod of iron. And He will have peace on earth. And He'll have it His way because He's already given us that promise. So God gave the world peace, peace in our heart, and peace as believers when we're walking in His will. And then future, we know we're going to have worldwide peace because Jesus is coming again. I can't help but just say it. I just can't help but say that I think it's pretty soon. But we don't know. Nobody knows when the rapture is going to take place. It could happen any moment. And we know that it's imminent, but when we look at the different things in place on the face of the earth right now, today, that really is a reference to the things before He returns with His saints, then we're just that much closer than we were. Then God gave the world His only Son. Let's not forget that. Sometimes at funerals, I will say something like this. I'll say, "God be with these dear people, and as they give up someone they love so very much," and you can relate to that, a husband, a wife, a child, or somebody that you love, a grandmother, grandfather, somebody you love so very much, a brother or sister, then may it remind all of us of how much God loved us. As we give up someone who died, may it remind each one of us of how much God loved us because He gave His Son, not only His Son, but His only Son. God gave His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the story of Abraham and Isaac. To me, that's one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible, where they go up to Mount Moriah in Genesis 22:5, and Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, And I, notice the faith he has right here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He knew he was going to come back, but he was willing to take his son up there and offer him as a sacrifice. And as he came up with that knife ready to come down, because God told him to do it, God stopped him and honored his faith, and they came off of that mountain together. And that's just a beautiful picture of Jesus dying in our place. And the ram in the thicket is more the picture of Christ. We were the ones who were bound, and he was the one that was taken as a sacrifice, and we were free. We saw some little lambs up here tonight. And we saw some wise men. I don't know how wise they were, but we saw three wise men. And we saw some shepherds and some others that were up here. But I always like to look at the little lambs. But it always reminds me of Jesus, who was born. And he was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Thank God for the Lamb. And 2,000 years later, on another mountain, God gave us his son, and his son died, and I'm glad that he did. So we have it between the manger and an empty tomb. A great sacrifice had to be made. It had to be made. There was no other way. This is a real thing. We didn't ask to be born and come to this planet, but when we were conceived in the womb, we became eternal souls. And I'm a claustrophobic person at times. I don't like to get in close places. But I've had those times that I've thought about the fact that I'm sort of locked into this earth and this whole universe, and I didn't really ask to come here. And what am I going to do? What's my future? How am I going to get out of this mess? And the answer is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then I can calm down and keep on going, because I know that the great sacrifice has been made for me, that I could be saved and be born again. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I like that word grace. Unmerited favor, whatever we need, the thing we needed, all that we needed. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, and old brother he was, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through poverty, through his poverty, might be made rich. I'm wealthy tonight. I'm a rich person in so many wonderful spiritual blessings. And it all came through none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. For your sakes he became poor. He was born. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he sent him to this earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ didn't even have a place to pillow his head. He didn't have a home that he called his own. And the Lord Jesus Christ lived a perfect life on this earth for you and me, that we could have eternal life. Not only eternal life, but great life right now. Good life right now. Wonderful life with peace. I can tell you tonight, and I'm glad I can say this, the gift is available to all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means anybody, anytime, anywhere, as the Spirit of God is drawing them, if they will say yes, they can be saved. Amen. If you're here tonight without Christ and you've never settled that issue, you can be saved tonight. You can call on the Lord and ask him to come into your heart. Realize you're a sinner. Know he paid the sin for you. That's the whole thing. That's why he came. That's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus coming down here to take your place and pay your sin debt. And listen to me, we all had a sin debt. It had to be paid for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not through sinning yet. That's a hard thing to testify in front of all the people. Let me tell you something, you're not either. And all of our sins, past, present, and future. See, we're all imperfect, aren't we? But all of it was paid in full, by Jesus Christ and his shed blood. But he had to be born as a baby to have the blood, to shed the blood on the cross, that we could be saved. The gift is available for you. The gift is not for us to hold and keep. The gift is for us to give to somebody else. When we have the knowledge of how to go to heaven and we don't tell people how to go to heaven, we are being remiss in our Christian responsibility. There are a lot of ways you can do that. It doesn't all have to be on Saturday morning visitation. But we need to be telling people and giving them and offering them the gift of eternal life. Hey, that's the kind of gift I like to give away. I don't even have to pay for it. Amen? Some of you do the same thing. You get a gift and rewrap it and turn around, give it to somebody else, don't you? You're blushing. I know you do. We've all done that, probably. Everybody but my wife and I. But we need to give the gift to other people. We have the gift. What a gift it is. And it's a reminder to all of us tonight that we owe Him. Oh, do we ever owe Him? Do we ever owe Jesus the very best that we have? We owe Him everything. Our life, our time, our talent, our treasure. We owe Jesus everything tonight. Thank God for this great, great gift of eternal life. Do you know Christ tonight? If you do, are you appreciating your salvation like you should? Are you living for Jesus? Are you playing church? Are you really doing what God wants you to do? Thank God for this great gift that God has given us. God gave us the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life. Let's stand, please. Would you tonight just let God use you to give the gift to others? Would you think about that and just say, God, help me to give this gift you've given me and share it with others, the gift of eternal life. And friend, if you're here tonight, little boy, little girl, man or woman, boy, girl, teenager, God loves you, and that gift is available right now for you if you'll come. And I'm asking you tonight, is He getting everything that He's shed His blood for? The gift of eternal life. Does God really have your heart? Does He really and truly have your heart and your life tonight? Father, thank You for the gift. The great and mysterious gift of eternal life through Christ. The gifts of Christ coming to this earth. The miracle of the virgin birth. The fact that He was ever born was a miracle. Satan tried to defeat it in every way he could. He could not. And then for the fact that He lived a perfect life so that He could take our place and satisfy Your demands. Thank You, thank You, thank You, dear God, tonight. For grace, amazing grace through Christ. And I pray if there's someone here without Him that they'd be saved tonight. Be saved before they go out into eternity. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would share this gift with others. In Jesus' name.